How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 178 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder, subscribe to the podcast there, leave a review once you're on that page, and find us on audioboom.com. Log on to normantranscript.com, check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site. You can see all my Thunder coverage there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Thunder beat the Bucks tonight, 110-79. Of course, Russell Westbrook's triple-double is the story of the game. 12 points, 13 rebounds, 13 assists, but it wasn't necessarily the line. He sat for the fourth quarter. Triple-double number 41 on the season. That ties Oscar Robertson for the most in a single season of all time. Amazing. I never really thought this was going to happen. The Thunder played great in this game, by the way, but obviously Westbrook is the story, as it always, as it has to be. I was going to say as it always is, but not always, because this is a record that no one really thought was something. To be honest, I didn't even know how many people listening to this knew that 41 triple-doubles in a season was the single-season record coming into this year. Because I didn't know it. And I know a lot about basketball. And I had no idea. And it's kind of just because that was such an unattainable record. It's like, I don't know how many wins was Cy Young's career high. And I know that's actually the record. The record for most, this is a bad example actually, because I do know the record for most wins in a season was Old Hoss Radburn had 59 in 1984. And there was a great book about that season, by the way, which I recommend to everybody, called 59 and 84, and it's fantastic. Could not have veered from the topic more just now. But anyway, I still don't know what, even though Cy Young is the all-time wins leader, I don't know what his season high or career high for wins is in the season, because it's such an unattainable number. It was created in such a, it was done in such a different era that it doesn't even count. Like last year when Russ got 18 triple-doubles, people were saying that he tied the record for most triple-doubles. And that was because it was Magic Johnson's record, like modern-day record, post-1981 record. That's what it was. Because getting to the numbers of Wilt and Oscar were so unattainable. They were so unrealistic that we just said Russell Westbrook got the triple-double record at 18. Turns out he didn't. Now he's at 41 and counting. He's got 5 games left in the season to break it. And it wasn't just that. He clinched averaging double-digit rebounds for the season in this game because he had 13 rebounds. He needed 11. He got 13. He's now clinched a double-digit rebounding season. He's the first guy 6'3 or shorter to average 10-plus rebounds in a season. That's according to Mark Stein over at ESPN, who tweeted that out pretty recently. His triple-double also tied Wilt Chamberlain for the fourth most ever in a career. It was his 78th career triple-double. Tied Wilt Chamberlain for fourth most. Next up, Jason Kidd had 107. I'd love to see how many triple-doubles Wilt Chamberlain would have had if they had counted blocks in his day, though. He'd had a lot more, I'll tell you that much. I bet Wilt was having 10 blocks every single night. He was going 10 points, 10 rebounds every night. I bet he was going 10 blocks every night. I bet you he had 80 triple-doubles a season. It's going to be a really short episode today. I'm sorry, I know this is an historic moment, and it does require a lot of coverage. I also didn't get back until like 12-something. It's like after midnight right now, and I have a 5:50 a.m. flight to Memphis. Thunder play in Memphis on Wednesday. Westbrook's going to be going for the record there. They got 4 straight road games, so in all likelihood, Russ is going to break this record on the road, not at home. They have 1 left at home. It's the last game of the season against Denver. The Thunder could, by the way, lock up the 6th seed if they win on Wednesday night. They're 3 ahead of Memphis in the loss column right now. They win on Wednesday night, they're going to be 4 ahead of Memphis. Memphis will have 3 to play. Thunder will have 4 to play. They could tie, but the Thunder would have already clinched the tiebreaker because they would have won the season series against them 3 out of 4 if they win tomorrow night. So that's a game with implications for the standings. But obviously, everyone's going to be talking about Russ's potential record breaker. Let's just get to some Twitter questions, and then I'm going to get out of here quickly. So Twitter questions. First one from friend of the show, Andrew Lynch. More impressive, not better season, but more impressive season Russell this year or Stephen Curry last year? Curry had the better season last year, 73 wins, three-point record, one of the greatest, most efficient offensive season, high-volume offensive seasons ever. Probably the greatest 50-40-90 season ever. He had a better defensive season than Westbrook is having this year. I do think Curry's season from a basketball perspective was better. But that was like, what, one of the six or seven best offensive seasons ever. Westbrook this season, kind of more impressive. The records, the numbers he's putting up, the records he's putting up, what he does on an individual level, on a nightly basis, is unbelievable. It's Tim Legler had a good tweet tonight. I thought he phrased it great. Let's see this. So here we go. My take on NBA MVP. What James Harden has done is incredible. What Russell Westbrook is doing is incomprehensible. And that's kind of what it is. And I'm very publicly, I don't have a vote. I don't have an MVP vote this year. The ballots went out on Monday. I don't have a vote. So my opinion does not matter in the outcome at all. But I've been very open. I don't know at this point who the MVP is. I think there are ways you could very easily argue both of them. It's really hard. To some degree, I'm glad I don't have a vote because it's really hard. And in the same way that you can only make a right decision, you can also only make a wrong decision. And it's nice to just kind of have the freedom to speak openly about it without, I don't necessarily believe in, there's a major conflict of interest with media voting too, which I don't love that these awards determine player bonuses and whether you're eligible for certain exceptions in which players can make more money. And I don't love that conflict of interest. So it kind of frees me from that feeling of guilt as well for me voting in something, a system that I don't 100% believe in. But back to the question, because I'm rambling when I said it was going to be quick. What Westbrook is doing right now, I kind of do think it's more impressive. The overall numbers. Oscar averaging a triple-double is like one of the premier numbers in all sports. Wilt's 100 points. DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak. You know, Bond's 73 home runs. One of the huge numbers in the history of American sports. And it's amazing that Westbrook is going to do it, and he's going to do it more impressively than Oscar, considering the era that he's doing it in, considering that he's going to have more triple-doubles on the season than him, and that he's doing it in fewer possessions, that he's doing it in 34, 35 minutes a game compared to Oscar, who was doing it in 40-some-odd minutes a game in a game that was gameplay was way faster than, way more possessions. And what Russ is doing now, it's what, and under the circumstances, with Durant leaving and him having to take over and change roles and the scrutiny that was on him coming into this season, having to be the guy, really the guy for the first time, for the first time in a major level in his life, because he wasn't the guy in college. And he wasn't the guy in Oklahoma City. He wanted to be the guy for a long time. And now that he wanted to be the guy, there's a lot of scrutiny on him. There's a lot of pressure on him. Now, pressure is an internal thing. If you decide not to feel pressure, you can build yourself in a way in which you don't feel it. And some people thrive off of that. But there was a lot of external pressure being put on him. There were people who could have felt that pressure. He obviously doesn't. And if he does feel it, it's something he thrives off of, which is also a possibility as well, because he's like that. He's competitive like that. He really is an unbelievable competitor. So from an impressiveness standpoint, I don't know. I kind of want to say Russ. I feel like that's a worthy distinction between better and more impressive. And I'm kind of taking Russ on this. Next, from Chris Hodge, what keeps OKC playing this well more consistently? Is it youth? It feels like the potential is out there, but only shows occasionally. So I didn't really talk about the game. The Thunder just destroyed the Bucks in this game. They played a great game. Defensively, they were awesome. They played really well. Andre Robertson was fantastic. I'll get to him in a second. They were up 39 at one point. They were up 30 at the end of the third quarter. They were up 20 pretty much the whole way from like the second quarter on, and they were up double digits in the first. Like it was a blowout the whole way through. What keeps them playing more consistent? I think youth definitely has something to do with it. People don't think of this team as a really young one. They have like 9, 10 guys, 25 and younger. Their average age is, I believe, younger than Philadelphia's. And Philadelphia is this incredibly young team. So this is a team that's really young. You look at the guys on this team with Grant and Abrines, who hurt his knee and whose timetable is uncertain right now, by the way, for those who didn't see the game on Tuesday. But you got Grant and you got Abrines, and Adams doesn't seem young, but he's 23. And Kanter is young, and Robertson's 25. And like you look at these guys, these are all guys 25 and younger. And there are more of them. They're a really young roster. really young roster. Oladipo's 24. Like, these are young players. And I think youth tends to be inconsistent. I think that's 100% part of it. I think another part of it is that they have a lot of specialists. And because of that, they have a lot of guys who are one-way players who are really good in certain scenarios, but only those particular scenarios. Because of that, there are just certain games in which they look off because it's not a good situation for them, and that helps too. But and the defense, as I've talked about a lot, the defense gives up a lot of shots at the rim. Like, that's just something that it does all the time, whether it's playing well or not playing well. And because of that, when a team is getting to the rim well, shooting well around the rim, creating shots around the rim, and if a team is particularly good at that, like, say, Houston, that's not a good matchup for them, and it can make them look bad. They're also pretty constructed around individual players. Like, their offense is very constructed around Russell Westbrook. So when Russell Westbrook doesn't play well, the offense is not going to play well, no matter what. The defense is very constructed around Andre Robertson and Steven Adams. And if one of those guys has a really bad game, the rest of the defense is probably going to have a poor game too. And I think that contributes to it too. Finally, from Gabe DeGroot, even though he didn't shoot well, would you consider this one of Robertson's better games of the season? I think it's hard to say definitely one of his better games. I think it's hard to say it's like his best or it's top tier. That's only because I don't think he played in the fourth quarter, and that by the time he got to the third quarter, it wasn't a game anymore. The intensity was gone. That first half was probably his best half of the entire season, though. He was unbelievable. The defense he played on Giannis, he had two unbelievable, like, SportsCenter top 10 worthy transition blocks. He was getting into passing lanes, but he was doing it without jumping coverages, without gambling into lanes. Like, he was jumping past. He was just deflecting balls from guys he was guarding. He was getting the hand into the ball. He was incredible offensively, and he was passing well. He was cutting well. He was screening well. Like, he was active offensively. He was incredible. And the defense he played on Giannis all night, he didn't guard him every possession, but when he was guarding him, he was just great. The way he got back on defense, his transition defense is killer. Him and Michael Pina, I know Michael Pina thinks that Robertson should be defensive player of the year. Robertson should be defensive player of the year. I wouldn't go that far. I think he's all defense for sure. And he's listed as a forward on the ballot, which is going to be tough for him. I think he's probably going to end up being second team, not first team, because of that. Because you're probably going to get Draymond Green and Kawhi as your first team forwards. It's going to be an interesting way to evaluate and see where he is on those teams. He was just incredible in this game. It was one of his best halves of the season. Maybe his absolute best half of the season, no question. Remember, I'm on every weekday, Monday through Friday. You can head on to iTunes to subscribe to Locked On Thunder. If you have questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. And you can find me on Twitter @FredKatz, FredKatz. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. And check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. That's going to do it for today. Back with you tomorrow again. I have another like early flight situation in Memphis tomorrow because they're on a back-to-back. Thursday morning, I leave right away, early morning for Phoenix. So might do a quieter show tomorrow night as well, but there will still be a show. As always, that'll be up for Thursday morning. But until then, Locked On Thunder is locking up.